Welcome to Just Relationships, the show that offers you concrete ways to make your relationships better. Whether it's your boss, your spouse, your children, or your friends, the quality of your relationships in life directly affects how you feel about yourself and the success you achieve. Your host, Dr. Duffy Spencer, a social psychologist who specializes in relationship building and the director of our own human relations consulting firm, Personal Presence, will interview top experts to help you learn to manage this essential part of your life. And now, here's your host, Dr. Duffy Spencer.
Greetings to you. Well, we all want love, and we all want to feel loved and feel safe and feel that love is forever. And unfortunately, sometimes it isn't. I am on the end of trying to help couples stay together, and I'm going to be interviewing a dear friend, Ada Haslocker, who tries to help couples mediate, and if they do decide to divorce, that it does not wreck the family or even their relationship, that they can maintain a conscious relationship with each other forevermore as co-parents and have an amicable arrangement of separation that feels fair to both. And that's why we call it mediation. And it's extraordinarily skill-based. And Ada Haslocker is just the person to help you do that if you are in that situation or if you know someone who is in that situation. So how did I do, Ada? Does that...
Excellent.
Okay.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right.
Very good.
So you have to break it down for us. I have always been interested in divorce mediation, but I've always shied away from it because anything to do with finances and numbers, I kind of go blank. And, you know, all of the legal aspects of it is not my thing. And I really admire you for being able to manage to deal with high emotions and at the same time try to keep people in their logical head so they can talk numbers, I guess, at some point, right?
Yeah, it's a great challenge to do this kind of work. There's no question about it. It's very complex. It can be complicated. And as you said, we're dealing with emotional issues. We're dealing with financial issues. We have legal issues, parenting issues. We're all over the place. And somehow we have to go from point A to point Z in a certain circumscribed period of time and address all of these issues so that at the end of the day, my clients are walking out with a signed agreement that are, as I tell them, not just words on a page, but there is an intention underneath the words in that document. And how they go about doing this transition of the family, because that's how I see it, is really very important.
I like how you put that, the transition of the family, that the family will be changing, but it will still be a family. You can think of it that way. Would you say so?
It's the only way that I think about it. When I'm working with couples with children in particular, they don't have the luxury of walking away from each other, never to see each other again. And I've worked with young couples who do not have children, and very often the marriage is over, the relationship is over, and they really go their completely separate ways. But when I'm working with clients who have kids, that's not the case for them.
No.
So that's what makes things so much more challenging, because their emotions are high. They have a lot of worries and concerns about everything about their future, what that's going to look like financially and every other which way. Just even trying to imagine that someday they're going to be walking their children down the aisle is so far beyond their comprehension at the moment that they walk into my office. But I'm holding that space for them that can occur.
That's absolutely wonderful. And I just want to go on record right now to really endorse divorce mediation. As much of a process as it is, and I know it takes more than one session, it is just a fraction of the cost of going to a lawyer. And lawyers are really set up to be acrimonious. And once you get in, each has their own lawyer. Now, each lawyer coaches each person on becoming more and more entrenched and trying to get the best bargain, the best deal against the other person. It becomes so adversarial and a win-lose situation that people wind up spending a fortune, a young fortune, as these kinds of things don't seem to have an ending.
That's true. And it's not, you know, I always tell my clients it's not the lawyer's fault. It's the system. It's an adversarial system. And it's set up, the structure of it is set up in such a way that it's a zero-sum game.
Right.
And when you're dealing with families, you're not, you can't even put it in the context of a zero-sum game. It's not somebody wins everything and somebody loses everything. Because which parent is winning everything and which parent is losing everything? And what does that look like for the children? And more importantly, what are you modeling for your children about how conflict is settled?
Right.
Right? So
yes.
I always remind my clients because, listen, you know, things get hot and they get a little crazy sometimes. But I remind them that their children are watching, their children are learning, their antenna is up, and they are really paying attention to what's going on here. And I really believe that couples who do this as amicably as possible, really keeping the family in mind for how they're going to continue to co-parent, how they will continue to be not only good parents to their children, but the authority figures that these children look up to for guidance and love, all of it. How is that going to be possible if they see one parent totally wrecked through this process? That's not going to be possible.
Right.
So the mediation process really allows for conversation, consideration. They're more relaxed. They're thinking about things. They go home. They do some homework together. And they really, really kind of work things out together as opposed to hiding behind, you know, the skirts of their attorneys, having somebody else speak for them. And whether or not those people are speaking for them and really representing what they really want, what their real interests are. The attorney does not care about the other spouse at all. They're only thinking about their own client, which is what they're supposed to do. That's their job. But in the work that we're doing here, that is just devastating for families.
Absolutely devastating. And you say it so well, Ada, the idea of zero-sum game, which is what we call win-lose, that mm-hmm. we put it together, win-lose, and we get zero. And how can you do that to a family? How does that zero-sum game apply to a family?
I know.
That is just so well put.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is, to me, it's unfathomable.
Yes.
Even when I'm working with couples, and I work with high-conflict couples, and I just remind them, I ask the question, what are you doing here?
Mm-hmm.
What is really going on here? Usually, you know, and I know you understand this also, Duffy, because of the type of work that you do. When we as adults misbehave, I'm going to use that term, you know, it's our adult version of throwing a tantrum, right? We don't throw ourselves on the floor and kick and scream, but we do an adult version of that. The first place that I go to when I see somebody behaving that way is that some need, some requirement is not being met. There's a fear. There's an upset. There's something else going on that needs to be addressed. And even though in mediation we're not doing therapy,
mm-hmm.
there is a therapeutic component to the work that we do, because sometimes when somebody is so entrenched in a fixed position,
right.
we have to get underneath that to find out what it is that is keeping them locked there. Because 9 times out of 10, as we know, it's usually not in their ultimate best interest to stay in that place.
Right. And how do you get at that? Because a lot of this is in the unconscious.
True. But, you know, in a mediation, they're coming in, they're separating, and so it's pretty fresh.
Yes.
It's pretty real. It's visceral. So a lot of times, for example, you know, I'll say, for example, a wife will say, you know, I don't want to go there. And mm-hmm. I'll say, why not? Let's go there. This is the place to go there.
Yeah.
Because I know that if we don't go there and resolve it, you're not going to sign an agreement at the end. You're going to find some reason at the end to just sabotage this. Mm-hmm. Not that you're doing it consciously.
Mm-hmm.
But if this doesn't feel right to you, if this doesn't feel right in your core, in your gut, at the end of the day, you're not going to sign an agreement. And the end result is that they want to put closure to this. And I tell them there's no magical thinking going on in this room. We're all adults. You know, we don't get everything that we want in life. But the question that I keep coming back to is, can you live with this? Is this an agreement that you feel that you can live with? It's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect would be that you never walked into my office.
Yes, of course.
But given that, is this an agreement that you is sustainable and doable for you?
Right. Absolutely. So when you say, you know, that they, if they don't feel right in their gut, I was just thinking, how can anyone feel right in their gut if we have 100% together and then I wind up with 50% and you wind up with 50%?
Right.
That's half of what I wanted. So how can I possibly feel right? But of course, as you say, if people know that they're that it's going to be very imperfect and they're going to come out with less than they would have had financially if
right.
they would have stayed together.
Right. And it's so interesting to me how many couples come into my office and are not fully prepared for that reality.
Mm.
They know
yeah.
it's not going to be exactly the way it is right now, but when we start crunching numbers and I have my couples do budgets, post-separation budgets, I want them to start thinking about what it is going to look like when they are living separately and apart. What is it going to take to support separate households? And we put those numbers up on the board and we look at them. It can really be an eye-opener sometimes.
Oh,
even though they
goodness.
Sort of knew it,
yeah.
but seeing it in black and white, very different story.
Wow. That really is something. And my hat's off to you that you can actually exact numbers from people. So many people have financial vagueness and they don't even know their mm-hmm. their full financial picture.
Yep. And, you know, listen, things are very expensive now. It takes two incomes to run a single household now. Where we have expenses now that we didn't have, like even 15 and 20 years ago when you think about it, all the technology expenses, the phones, the services, the texts, the cable, everything is so expensive. You're talking about hundreds and hundreds of dollars more
yes.
that we lay out every month that we never thought about 20 and 30 years ago.
So true.
And, right? I mean, groceries are much more expensive. Gas is almost $4 a gallon. So, you know, most people are just so distracted, just trying to keep their heads above water and make ends meet. And now the reality of dividing households, and, you know, the rule of thumb used to be that when you split households, you would be living on 30% less.
Uh-huh.
Because you're doubling down on everything, housing costs, utilities, food. The insurance for the car gets unbundled now. Instead of having kind of the family plan, you have, you know, a single plan, so the premium may be a little higher. The same thing with the health insurance. Same thing with all kinds of things like that. The cell phone, you know, you have the family package. Now you have to pull that apart a little bit. But salaries haven't gone up that much to keep up with all those additional costs. So, you know, this is one of the most difficult things when I'm doing a mediation is just dealing with the financial aspect. How are you going to do this? How are you going to be able to live separately and apart? Now, you and I both know that people don't stay together for the money. That's not a reason to stay in a marriage. However, it is a reality when they are separating. And
yes.
I want to make sure that they understand what that reality is so that there are no surprises once they do live separately and apart. They know what's what.
Well, some people do stay together for the money because they literally cannot afford to live apart.
That's true sometimes, but eventually, if the emotional part of the marriage isn't there, Duffy, they come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll try to stay together for a while. Sometimes they'll stay for a while till they get the house sold, because clearly there isn't enough money until they are able to pull some money out of that house to be able to live separately and apart. But my experience is generally it's rare that people will stay together because they can't afford to separate. Somehow, some way, they will find a way to do it. If it means moving in with a parent or doing whatever it takes. Because a toxic relationship is very bad for kids.
Oh, absolutely. Do you ever find that anyone gets to the point of working with you as a divorce mediator and then changes their mind?
Yes, and you know what? I consider that my most successful mediation.
Mm.
I say to them when they walk out, I hope I never see you again.
Right.
And that's the beauty of mediation, Duffy. That's what I love about this process. It gives people some grace.
Yes.
It gives them time to really think about it. Once
Absolutely.
They go to the lawyers, the boxing gloves are on, and it's very hard to take those gloves off.
Once they're on, it becomes that much more untenable. What would you say would be the percentage of people who change their minds?
It's a very small percentage.
Okay.
And usually I can sense it when they first come in to see me. There's a lot of ambivalence and not really sure. I encourage them to see a couple counselor. I know some incredible people that I can refer to help them really figure out truly if this is what they want, if this is something that must happen, or if there really is a way for them to find their way back to each other.
Right. Yes, because I do so much agree that if you change your mind after you've gone to a divorce mediator, you need help to get back on track.
Yeah, because, again, and I know you know this, wanting to do it and having the facility, having the tools to be able to do it are two very, very different things. So, A, it's important to have the desire and the intention. But then you need the tools, and I believe that people really should avail themselves of professionals like yourself to help them develop those tools, because otherwise they just go back, and it's good for a while, but then they go back to their old patterns, and it sometimes makes things worse when they come back, because they're so upset and disappointed now. And it's not their fault. Had they perhaps gotten some professional help, they might have had a fighting chance.
Absolutely. I never, ever believe in ending a marriage unless there's extreme abuse, because people are garden variety abusive to each other because they don't know any better.
Right.
But I don't believe in ending a marriage unless that consideration, without trying therapy, without really, really going into a strong therapeutic process.
I agree. But you'd be surprised, and probably not, how many people really resist that? Because I always ask that question when I first meet with my clients, you know, have you done any couple counseling? And I'm always surprised at how many people say no, or I wanted to go, but she didn't want to go. You know, one spouse was willing, but the other didn't. Just the other night, I'm finishing up with a client now, and the husband said to me that years ago she begged him to go, and he just felt that they were reasonable people, they could talk it out, they could work it out, but, you know, he's thinking with that side of the brain that's logical and reasonable, and we know that marriage is that plus more than that, it's very emotional, and he didn't, and now he regrets it, because in their case, it's too late. I mean, she's really moved on now, and there's no going back for her.
Yeah.
And I felt very sad about that for
yes.
him. And for her, actually.
And I share with you, I know it, and I still find it astonishing how many people are willing to get divorced and not willing to go to couple counseling, especially when there are children involved. It's really just crazy.
I know. But for some reason, there's still some, I'm not going to say shame around going for therapy, but there's still, for some people, less so than in the past, but there's still like a stigma that there's something wrong with you, that you can't figure it out for yourself. But I'm a big proponent in going for professional help for all kinds of things, even in my mediation practice. I bring in financial neutrals when I'm working with a very high net worth or very complex financial situation because I want to do a good job. I want to do the right job, and I know what I know, and I know what I don't know, and it's important in life to know what you don't know and go to those people who know these things and can educate you and help you get the job done. And I look at therapy in the same way. Why not avail yourself of the help? And
yes.
Most times when people finally do, they are so relieved by the experience. They're like, I can't believe it took me this long to do this. Why was I resisting it?
And people can be so short-sighted and look at the cost of couple counseling. And as I say to my couples, you know, divorce is so expensive. When you think about, you can't compare the cost of couple counseling to the cost of divorce and the aftermath of divorce.
That is so true. That is so true.
Yes.
I know. I mean, yeah, just going to lawyers, both of them hiring attorneys and starting with the retainer fee and all of the expenses. I always say to my clients, whose kids do you want to put through college, yours or the attorney?
Oh, that's great. Yes.
True. It's true. It's so expensive. I say put that money in a 529 in a college fund for your kids.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Ada, can you... Okay, this is Dr. Duffy Spencer. This is WHPC 90.3 FM. And I am interviewing Ada Haslocker. And she is the founder and owner of the Divorce and Family Mediation Center, which is located in Melville. So, Ada, how would people get in touch with you?
My phone number would be the best way,
okay.
Which is 631-585-5210. And they can visit my website. I have a lot of information on my website. I write articles 2 times a month, and I post them. And my website is the name of my company, divorceandfamilymediationcenter.com. divorceandfamilymediationcenter.com.
Okay, so let me repeat that. For Ada Haslocker, who is the founder and owner of the Divorce and Family Mediation Center in Melville. Her number is 631-585-5210. That is 631-585-5210. Get your pencils and paper ready, because I'll be repeating this at the end of the show, which is only about 5 minutes from now, okay? Or you can find her on the web, www.divorce, and it's spelled out, Ada, A-N-D,
yes. Yep.
Family Mediation, M-E-D-I-A-T-I-O-N, center.com. Divorce and Family Mediation Center.com. Okay, so what would be the number of times a couple would have to come for this to have an signed agreement?
So when I'm working with couples with children, I tell them it takes generally about anywhere from 4 to 6 sessions to complete a mediation.
Mm-hmm.
The sessions could be an hour to an hour and a half. It really depends. And it also depends, timing-wise, on how well they are cooperating with each other in the mediation.
Mm-hmm.
Because some couples work on things together outside of the session. I do give them some homework to do. So I tell them as much work as you can do outside of session will minimize the amount of time we have to spend in session.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have other couples who really need a third-party neutral, and that is me as the mediator in the room, in order to have any conversation. And what we do as mediators is we facilitate the voluntary agreements that they are going to make about everything that has to go into their agreement. So even when they look at me and say, please tell us what to do, and we all have a laugh about that, as a mediator, we don't tell them what to do, but I tell them what they can do. I can tell them what their options are. I can tell them what other couples in a similar situation have done to resolve their issues. And although what another couple might have done is not exactly what would work for them, sometimes there's a kernel or a thread that we can kind of pull out of it and then open that up and make it work in a way that fits their family and their needs.
That's wonderful. So, Ada, how did you study this? Did you start out studying general mediation?
No, I didn't. It's so interesting. I had been a commercial real estate broker for about 18 years. And as a broker, I was doing negotiations. Mm. And I decided that I wanted to do something to use those skills in a more, for me, in a more meaningful way, something that really made a difference in people's lives. So I did a basic training in divorce mediation, and I remember the first day of the training, I just walked out of that room and I said, this is it. This is what I was meant to do, and I never looked back. And I've been doing it for about 11 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you really know your stuff.
Well, you know, my clients have trained me, and you know, that's that. I train mediators now. I train in New York City at the Divorce Mediation Center, and I tell the students, and when I say students, they're all adults. They're either lawyers or people in the mental health profession. That, you know, you learn the basic skills, but we all know that, you know, it's on-the-job training. You get in there, and that's when you really start to hone your skills, and you get better and better at it.
Oh, so true. I feel the same way as a therapist. Yes, we have our training, and then we have our clients who we go in with, and toe-to-toe, and strong interactions, and strong feeling your way in and experimenting and listening and a much more a sensitized listening. So we have only a minute or so for this show, and the good news is that you're coming back next week and we can talk then about mediation skills in general and what you do to lower the emotional temperature for people, because I would very much like people to learn some mediation skills themselves and ways of dealing with emotions, with numbers, with, you know, whatever. You know, I'd like us to be a fly on the wall and see what really goes on inside of a divorce mediation center.
Sounds
How does
great.
That sound? Yes.
Sounds good.
Yes. So when you, we have just a minute now, but when you go to teach someone how to do mediation, what is the first thing that they need to know?
Listening.
Yes.
Listening, paying attention, being very observant, being present.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm in that room, the world goes away.
Right. Right. That's well put. So, Ada, thank you so much. And Ada Haslocker, the founder and owner of Divorce and Family Mediation Center in Melville. And I asked you to get your pen and pencil out, paper rather, and her number is 631-585-5210. That's 631-585-5210. www.divorceandfamilymediationcenter.com. Thank you, Ada. And for everyone listening, this is Dr. Duffy Spencer wishing you great relationships.